There are a lot of protocols today that are much more focused on plutocracy, actually how much tokens you have in the first place. But in order to actually create something very meritocratic, you actually need to have something that was based upon someone's proven credentials and proven reputation over a period of time. And while we don't have a robust reputation system in Web3 today, we think that the credentialing protocol of Rabbitohole will play a key part in creating that.
Makes no sense at first when you're trying to learn, and you need help when you're barreling down the rabbit hole. The only way out is through. The only way to learn is to do. We're here to guide you down the rabbit hole.
Hey everybody, welcome to Down the Rabbit Hole. I'm your host, Diana Chen, and I am so excited to kick off this podcast with Brian Flynn, CEO and co-founder of Rabbit Hole. We're going to be talking to you all about what Rabbit Hole is, why crypto education is so important to us, what the future of work is going to look like, why Rabbit Hole has decided to decentralize, and all that good stuff. So I'm super excited to have Brian here with me on episode one of Down the Rabbit Hole. Thank you so much for being here today, Brian.
Yeah, excited to be here and kick this off.
Awesome. So before we dive into Rabbit Hole, let's get a little background about what your story is and how you fell down the rabbit hole. So tell us, where were you before you started Rabbit Hole? And then how did you initially fall down the crypto rabbit hole?
My background actually in gaming, I played a bunch of first-person shooters competitively before esports was actually a thing. Decided one day to stop gaming and go more into startups. Started a company a few years ago in peer-to-peer delivery space. Tried building it on Ethereum in 2016 and realized it was about 10 years too early. I was learning about support resistance and proof of location, all the fun problems dealing with people working with crypto today. And so in 2018, I started digging into NFT, started an NFT newsletter. I'm giving my background in gaming, and then worked at OpenSea for a bit as the first hire, and then also worked at Dapper Labs as a PM, and was always focused on how mainstream users were going to be in crypto. And so thought at first it was going to be NFTs. Quickly realized that NFTs are a carrot on the stick to get people into crypto, but in order for people to be truly crypto native, people actually need to know what protocols actually are and what it means to actually be an owner in these different networks. And started Rabbit Hole about a year and a half ago and really focused on actually driving people to crypto applications, knowing what they're using, and becoming an owner in the process.
For people who may not have heard of Rabbit Hole before, I haven't checked out a quest or a skill yet, tell people what Rabbit Hole is, just at high level, and you know how people can start to use it.
Yeah, for sure. So at the highest level, Rabbit Hole is a place to learn about crypto and crypto and using the different latest crypto applications in the process. So we work with protocols in DeFi, NFTs, and DAOs across the board. So Uniswap, Aave, Compound, all the favorites, and have these different quests and skills for people to do different on-chain actions. And as you do those different on-chain action, you're able to complete different credentials and earn crypto from these protocols in the process. So if you're first looking to get involved into crypto and don't know where to start, Rabbit Hole is a place to guide you down the nebulous rabbit hole.
When you think about the long-term vision of what Rabbit Hole is trying to achieve, with the short term is like educating people about Web3 and crypto, bringing people down the rabbit hole. Long term, like, what is this going to look like? What is this going to result in?
Right now, if we take a step back and see where crypto is today, you know, NFT drops, speculation, yield farming, really all these like short-term games. And ultimately, in order for these protocols to be successful, they need to get tokens in the hands of the right people who are actually going to want to push these protocols forward and who aren't in it for sort of the reasons of speculation. And so a lot of what we're focused on is actually matching protocols to the right users and to the right token holders. And we really see this as a new form of employment, where being a token holder means that you're a worker for these protocols. And so given that mindset, we really see Rabbit Hole as a new way of work in general, where these token distributions are basically a way to recruit workers. And these quests on the Rabbit Hole itself is basically a way to start doing atomic work for these different protocols in the process. And in a world of which decentralized Uber were to exist in 5 to 10 years, there would be a quest on Rabbit Hole that actually lets you earn Uber token for driving a passenger, for example. And so there'd be dozens of these different types of cryptonomics that require skills, or these different credentials, and those basically act as a filter that qualify workers for specific types of jobs. And so really what we think the future work looks like is that your transaction history is really the new resume that can be provable as you start to complete different transactions. And then the quests themselves are these atomic units of work that actually allow you to earn crypto in these different networks as you start to work itself. And so people are going to be working for multiple protocols at once, no longer have a full-time job and can earn a full-time salary by doing these different tasks with a bank account in anywhere part of the world.
So the skills essentially will add up to create your resume. And then are the skills categorized into DeFi, NFTs, like various different things? So if somebody were to complete some skills that say they come from a marketing background and they want to show that they are going to be a really good marketer for a protocol, a Web3 protocol, what would that process look like for them? Would there be like a set of skills that would help them showcase these, their expertise in marketing? And then how would they be able to use that to go out to protocols? Is it like the skills and the quests that Rabbit Hole has that would be like a discovery platform for people to find work at certain protocols? Or how are you envisioning this just working in the long term?
If you think about what crypto work is today, basically showing off your DeFi interactions or your actions, basically things that require capital in the meantime. There really hasn't been this stage of which we're actually showing off our skills in any form or fashion, besides maybe your developer interactions as you deploy, or even things like Numer AI, where actually can be able to predict different algorithms in the first place. What starts to happen over time is that, similar to how things became more online over time in different small businesses, different networks and marketplaces will become more on-chain over a period of time. And so while today you probably can't prove that you're a good marketer on chain, you could probably prove that you're a good marketer online with Web2 social networks. And over time, when things become more on chain, like you'll have like affiliate marketing on chain, for example, that can prove that you're a good marketer in some scenario, right? And so if you had some, say, on like affiliate link inside this podcast and you were driving people to buy NFTs, you can actually use that as a way to say, hey, you drove 200 different NFT purchases that might actually qualify you for some affiliate marketing credential on Rabbit Hole itself, because that can actually be proved on chain. We're like at the very early stages of starting to classify what these roles are in this crypto native world. And so basically bringing capital on chain and is like the first step into this itself, where we're actually using capital on these networks is an easy way to get started, but ultimately isn't where we're going to end up. We're going to be much more skill oriented towards at the end of the day. And so really what Rabbit Hole is used at the end of the day is basically a way to start curating your resume in a very standardized fashion. And so if you think about something like LinkedIn, for example, everyone is like writing about where they went to school, all their different jobs, like different description. And it's not a very standardized format at the end of the day. It's like very hard to shift through. But what's interesting about Web3 is that because you give different permutations of your transaction history, you can get a very standardized format and start to qualify people of how they rank up against other people. Now you have, say, millions of people with different on-chain skills, right? Say, as the affiliate marketing one, as one particular example. And now you're able to say, hey, these 100,000 people may be qualified for a specific job, whether that's a quest, or it can be off Rabbit Hole itself, say like a marketing DAO, for example, where the skill is basically entryway into that marketing DAO. And so I think when we think about where the role that Rabbit Hole plays is a credentialing protocol, where our quest is basically a way to dog food the credentialing protocol. And then off Rabbit Hole, people can basically plug into those different credentials. And this is actually where the decentralized question becomes so important, that ultimately it shouldn't be up to us to decide what these credentials should be. Otherwise, we're like reinventing a lot of the institutions that we have today in the traditional education system. Ultimately, it should be up to the people obtaining these credentials and actually doing the work to decide how valuable these credentials are, because they're the ones that actually know what's valuable. And so there's going to be this loop between people completing the credentials and then being getting the right permissions to actually vote in what these credentials actually are. And they're going to be the ones deciding how these credentials play in the Rabbit ecosystem and also off the Rabbit ecosystem. And so that's how we see this evolving over time.
How will that play out with giving people the governance rights to vote on what skills and quests to launch next? Like, how will all of that play out?
we're still working a lot of details of the specifics here, but ultimately we want people to be the decision makers on what the actual work itself is on the Rabbit Hole platform. So all the different projects, credentials on the Rabbit Hole platform itself will be dictated by the users, and they'll be curating what's most important, right? And so in a world in which Rabbit Hole is successful and we have millions of users, you basically start to have this front page where people can start saying, what is the most important user journey for someone to go from like a brand new crypto user to being best developer in the space or best NFT curator in the space, and there will be a path for that itself, right? And we could start using on-chain data to actually see who was most successful, because you can see their path over a long period of time and say, this was actually the most robust path. We should actually design it. And so it is a very much a data-driven business at the end of the day. We have a bunch of people on the team. We're focused on using on-chain data to incorporate back into the product. And it will be increasingly more important that we have a bunch of people in DAO that are focused on using this on-chain data to incorporate into product decisions of how this evolves over time. But it is extremely important that we give all these different governance decision-making capabilities to people who are actually using the product and having the right credentials. There are a lot of protocols today, Web3, that are much more focused on plutocracy, actually how much tokens you have in the first place. But in order to actually create something very meritocratic, you actually need to have something that was based upon someone's proven credentials and proven reputation over a period of time. And while we don't have a robust reputation system in Web3 today, we think that the credentialing protocol of Rabbit Hole will play a key part in creating that.
We're seeing a lot of Web3 companies thinking about decentralization nowadays, and everybody is spinning up a DAO left and right. Doesn't even matter if it's on-chain or if you've got a goal for it or anything. Everybody's got a DAO nowadays. Web3 companies are thinking about decentralizing. From your view, what does that process of decentralizing look like? Say you've got a well-established Web3 company already, and you're like, okay, like long-term, I really want to give governance rights to the community and not to me or like 10 people that are part of the core team. How does that process look like? Because I think that's a big question that I see people talking about a lot, and nobody really seems to know the answer to that. But we'd love to hear your thoughts about what that process looks like. Is what are some of the issues, or what are people doing wrong that you're seeing? And maybe what are people doing that you think more people should be doing?
Yeah, what's interesting about a lot of DeFi protocols in specific is a lot of them build the protocol first and then like hand it off to community. And this is famously coined as like progressive decentralization, where you actually start with something first and you hand it off. The problem with progressive decentralization in this handoff period is that you don't have a community. You do this retroactive airdrop, and you give people some tokens, and then all of a sudden you expect the community to take the reins and hand it over. But the outcomes of that is actually you have very low participation. You don't actually have people engaged in the community. You don't have people making governance decisions. You're like, you get a lot of this hype initially, but then it dies out over time. And so when we think about decentralizing Rabbit Hole, we're actually building the community in the DAO alongside the product, right? Which is different than, say, creating the product and then creating the DAO afterwards. What this actually enables us to do is to get community feedback as we build the product. And so if we're making product decisions, we're actively thinking about how this is going to be managed by the DAO. And then also allows us to start picking who the right leaders are, who are actually going to be as we make this transition in the first place. And so that by the time when we're fully decentralized, we already have those key leaders in place who can start making those decisions and can still follow a very much of a phased approach in the meantime. But the downsides of this is that it's harder to focus, frankly, because you're building two things at once. And you really want to make sure that you could still have product market fit as you're like building the DAO in the meantime. And so this is very much something that there's no playbook for across any of the crypto space. And so it does feel like brand new territory here that we're taking on, and really we see ourselves as pioneers here as we start to really figure out what an aggregator looks like in a DAO setting, because I think most DAOs today are either Discord groups with maybe like a token gated entryway or maybe like a full DeFi protocol. But in terms of like where Rabbit Hole sits, it's just really an aggregator. And so what does an aggregator look like in a DAO setting? It really hasn't been done before. And so it requires entirely a new playbook.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like the key thing you said too is with the phases, A lot of the discourse I'm seeing out there right now is we got to go like full decentralized. And I think like within the Web3 community, patience is probably not a virtue that many of us have to reach that final stage of full decentralization as soon as possible. We're all there. But practically speaking, I think there are, you do have to take baby steps and you do have to follow these different phases. So in your mind, when you talk about these phases that you have to go through to the for progressive decentralization, what are those phases in your mind, and what sort of time frame, as best as you can predict, are you thinking, like, how long is this all going to take?
The way we're thinking about it internally is to really split it up into three phases. The first phase is mainly about creating frameworks in place. And so a lot of it is like establishing what any Web2 company does is like, what are the frameworks in place in order for us to scale? Before we hit a growth stage, we actually want to start building out work streams that are then going to be taking those functions over. So for example, we have a core business team made up of a few people on Unwrappable team. And instead of continuously adding business development people to actually scale product, we're actually creating like a business development work stream out of this. We can start adding people to who are then going to be incentivized in some capacity through Unwrappable proposals on external protocols. I start actually bringing those protocols in. And so that the core Unwrappable team is no longer doing that business development, but third-party contributors are now doing that business development. Same goes for other core functions of the business. So things like marketing itself, and we start building these different content work streams. Same goes for how we actually scale the number of queries on Unwrappable itself, because that's how we're actually tracking on-chain interactions. All of these things will have their own decentralized approach to them of how we actually start structuring this. And so there really hasn't been this operationally driven DAO product in market today. And Unwrappable is very operationally intensive as we're starting to, you know, figure out what these credentials and quests actually look like. And then they're all time-based in itself. And so we really need to start thinking about what are these different work streams and how do they go from the core team into the work streams itself. So in sort of phase two, it becomes like all work stream based, where the core team actually becomes merged into these different work streams. And it looks like more of a pod based structure in itself, where you have some decision-making power, but there's some level of autonomy between each of these. And then the third phase is more of a protocol based approach, where you actually have a lot more smart contract based interactions, more on-chain interactions, actually dictating governance decisions of how things should move forward. And while we're still like super early stages and we're figuring out what that looks like, we think that this approach of going from first to core functions of a core team into more pod-based structure and the work streams is something that like a lot of teams just haven't done before. But we think that there's a lot of greenfield opportunity here for us to take on.
The biggest challenges in the early days of building out a DAO or, you know, decentralizing is building up an active community base. I'm sure a lot of people listening are probably in multiple DAOs, like the Gitcoin study that came out recently. Like, most people are only active in 1 to 2 DAOs. So while you may be technically a member or whatever in 5 to 10 DAOs, I don't know anyone who's like active in 5 to 10 DAOs. I don't know how anybody would have the time for that. When you think about building community, and not just a community, but an active community, what are, I guess, like the most important things that you think need to be communicated to the community or offered to the community in order to keep them really active and engaged and on board to contribute as much of their time as possible?
The most important thing is to make sure that they're mission aligned. I think DAOs compared to companies are all about mission alignment. We want to make sure that everyone is in it for the right reasons and not in it for speculation reasons itself. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is making sure that there's a reputation or meritocratic system in place where there's actually upwards mobility inside the DAO. And so a big problem with DAOs today is that you join a DAO and then you start contributing and there's no upwards mobility. You start doing 3 to 4 tasks and then you sort of hit a point where it's, okay, you're part of this thing, you're talking about, you're part of this thing. But there's no actually way for you to become a leader in this thing for additional incentives. And so making sure that there's actually a path for you to actually get in and then have upwards mobility is probably the most important thing to do that like most DAOs don't have today. And so like we think that's going to be a big part of the Unwrappable DAO in itself, is making sure that people have the upwards mobility. The second thing is making sure that people are feeling part of the, and what's different in Unwrappable in some cap, because it's so operationally driven based, it is much more bounty based than other DAOs. We're actually doing these bounties such as creating content or creating subgraphs, etc. But we really don't want to make it feel transactional based. We don't want to make it feel like you're just doing these tasks over and over again. We want to make feel that you're actually attached to the product and feel ownership in terms of the outcomes of the product in itself. And so how can we actually give ownership to people who are doing these tasks and also give them upwards ability to feel like they're part of it as well? Those are the two biggest things to making sure people feel retained to the DAO over a period of time. And I think being able to retain DAO contributors is the main priority as we transition to these different phases.
So I want to talk about the long-term vision of Rabbit Hole. I think a lot of people listening, when they hear on-chain resume, the first thing they think about is, okay, this is going to replace university education. Kids are going to graduate from high school and just do something like Rabbit Hole instead of go to college. Is that sort of the long-term vision? Is this will be a replacement for college, or is there a bigger vision or another vision that you have in the long term?
What's interesting about Web3 as a whole is that education and work become merged over. Basically, as you start doing different micro tasks and different transactions, you're not only learning as you do those like small things, but you're also building up your resume. And so, you know, in their university model, like as you start taking tests and exams, there's no way to actually prove like your test in some capacity because it's on like the separate database. But because that you can actually prove that these microtransactions are happening, you're building your reputation in place, right, as you start to do these different micro tasks. And so it's going to be very likely that in 10 to 15 years, that most people probably won't do a traditional like K through 12. You'll have this path of actually people being able to, at age of say like being 8 or something, actually start doing micro tasks on chain and building their resume that way, where they could actually start being employed into protocols by doing their first initial tasks. And so I really do think that instead of people or to play video games and maybe to get employed and they get online and start earning money online that way with either doing TikTok or YouTube or Roblox, things like that, actually generate income for Gen Z people today. But instead, they're going to go completely on chain because it doesn't require a bank account. It's very easy for them to get started. All their friends are going to be doing it. And that's how most people are just going to be making their income over a period of time. This is going to feel much cooler. And so in that model, even people today are questioning the university model to see if it's actually worth it. But now it's going to be, if they're making, you know, a significant portion of their income before the age of 18, are they going to feel the need to actually go to university in the first place? And so when we think about like where Rabbit Hole sits into that, we really want to provide that entry point for people to actually start building these micro tasks and building this resume for the point where they can actually become employed into these different protocols by owning these tokens. And we think that Rabbit Hole will be the best place to find and discover work in general. And most work online will also be on, and that you're actually being able to have any skill that you can then use to be employed into a different protocol and get onboarded into a different DAOs. You're starting to already see today that a lot of the traditional like creator economy type folks who maybe don't want to be in front of a camera all day and have to see burnout, they're actually joining DAOs. And a big portion of that is because they can actually have the same flexible lifestyle that the creator economy provides without the additional downsides of being in front of a camera and exposing yourself. And so I think that's going to become a much more common pattern over a period of time. And in that world, Rabbit Hole basically serves the entryway for people to start getting involved into Web3 and then basically be placed into other DAOs as they prove out what they're good at in some cases. And we really see this as a new portal into this new way of working in general.
We're not just trying to help college-bound kids take a different path from college, but it really can help anybody like all over the world who may not have the means to find work or to make money or to earn a living. I think we spoke about this in a past conversation, like maybe even partnering with like refugee camps and helping refugees get another start. Or another thing that comes to mind for me is with the prison system, like when people come out of prison, they're just thrown back into the world and like, good luck. You have no money, you have no house, you have no place to stay, but like, good luck with that. So I think there's definitely opportunity for Rabbit Hole to partner with really people who might not have other outlets or other paths like in the traditional world to help them find work and really get their feet off the ground.
Totally. Yeah. I'd say most of our users, I'd say about 60-70% are in third world countries like the Philippines, Brazil, Nigeria, et cetera. And most of them are actually earning their full-time wage through rabbit hole quests themselves. And even the ENS airdrop today, we helped about 18,000 users receive about $200 million worth of income just through the ENS airdrop, which is pretty incredible in external countries. And if we can still provide that on-ramp to actually start employing people across the globe, we definitely think we can make a huge impact. And you're already starting to see that with Play to Earn, but we think the opportunity for being able to earn in any protocol is such a much bigger opportunity than just Play to Earn games. And I really hope to be that global employment network. The danger here, and I really want to stress this, is that if you reach a level of distribution that can potentially change a ton of lives through employment, you want to make sure that you're credibly, and which is a big reason why you want to decentralize in the first place. Because ultimately, it shouldn't be up to us to control people's lives like Facebook kind of today, but it should really be up to the users themselves who are going down the rabbit hole and being able to earn these credentials. And so we really want to make sure that rabbit hole is first and foremost credibly neutral. Because that is the way that people are going to feel safe and using it as a means of finding and discovering work. Otherwise, we fall into the trap of something like Black Mirror, where you basically have a bunch of one company basically dictating and controlling people's lives, like a lot of what do social networks today.
I think there's a lot to be said about studying history, learning from history, because the original web was created with a lot of the same intentions that we are intending Web3 to be, and look where we ended up. Hopefully we can learn from our mistakes and not as we start building out Web3 more. Any final thoughts, Brian, from you about rabbit hole, anything, any final thoughts you want the listeners to go away with before we end here?
Yeah, I just want to say, really excited about what we have for Rabbit Hole. If you want to join the DAO, we're going to be setting up some applications in the near term. We're bringing on some new contributors. Definitely check out the skills and the quests that we have on the platform. You check it out at rabbithole.gg and follow us on Twitter at rabbithole_gg.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to episode 1 of Down the Rabbit Hole. If you enjoyed this episode, if you learned something from it, please take a second to rate and subscribe. And that way we can really get this podcast out to more and more listeners and help people learn more about Web3. So thank you so much again, Brian. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And we will be back again soon. Down the Rabbit Hole. Crypto makes no sense at first when you're trying to learn. And you need